Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Mr. Pick Me and the Man-Hater Radio Podcast Hour. I am Mr. Pick Me, also known as Chesco. This is me as Cyclops shooting lasers. Pew, pew. Audio, humor, and visual form. This would be cool glasses, right? Can I do this? Can I pull this off?
No. Hi.
Just having a long strip of red plastic.
Do you know who I feel like? I feel like Jean Grey when she is a Dark Phoenix. I'm going to just explode
everything. So Madeline Pryor?
What? Madeline Pryor?
Yeah, she's a clone of Jean Grey.
Oh.
Because Jean Grey was actually nestled in the ocean.
So she was never in the movie.
Well,
she's
no, Jean she was Phoenix, but in the comics, Jean Grey was, turns out was Madeline Pryor, and it's a whole thing. Cyclops married her, had a baby, turned out to be Cable. They sent it to the future, but it turns out it wasn't Jean that he had the baby with. It was Madeline Pryor, who was a clone of Jean Grey from Mr. Sinister.
One, that's horrifying. Two, I'm trying to make a simple joke that you make me want to explode things. But we had to take it there. Why did I think I could make a
Jean
quick
Grey
little...
Jean Grey does have the Phoenix, though. Like, I want to be clear. Jean Grey and the Phoenix are... It's a whole thing.
I don't need the clarification, but thank you.
I don't think I was very clear there, and I think there's going to be at least one comic book fan that's mad at me. I want to be clear. I know what I'm talking about.
I want to be clear. I made a mistake. I was just trying to do a funny little hee-hee-ha-ha joke, and we've gone into a special interest wormhole.
I'm frozen.
Oh, I thought you were just staring at me.
No, I think we just leave it there because it looked like it could have just been that way. Fine. By the way, I'm having this is a protein seltzer.
What?
It's like a seltzer drink that has 30 grams of protein in it.
It doesn't make sense to me because protein is like heavier when it's in anything you drink. But now it's supposed to be a seltzer.
It's in there.
I believe
I don't know if it's the right kind of protein though. I probably should because there's like collagen protein that helps you can help like your skin and your joints.
Sure.
And then there's like muscle protein where it can make you for your gains
big and strong.
Yeah, that's been my goal this year is to I want to get healthy,
get beefy.
No, I mean, I had real big goals about a month ago when I started. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot more realistic with what they are now. My goal is to have like someone that looks like they could have been fit once.
You want someone to look at you and be like, I feel like he was fit in high school.
I bet that guy was used to like. Be
that
fit.
Guy ran once. Yeah.
My goal is not to be fit. It's to look like I could have once been fit. I think
you're
that's
the ghost
like,
of fitness.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, where somebody could look at me and be like, I bet when he was younger,
he had it going on.
Like now he's clearly, he's having some troubles. You know, his life,
he's
life
down
is
on its luck.
He's down on his luck. But at one point, there's remnants of something there.
Yeah.
So that's my goal. My goal is to fool people into thinking that I was once fit. It's not to get fit. To fool people into thinking I'm in my dad era.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think you are in your dad era.
Yeah, I am in my dad era. But like to the point where it looks less like I've given up. I feel like I was getting to the point where it was like, it's all right, man. Like people wanted to give me hugs. Like... It's seeming that, hey, you're a really good person. Do you need to talk?
Do you want a hug?
Do you need some help? I'd like to sweat less is what it is. I'd like to sweat less, and I'd like my bones to hurt less. Like I think just the past like 3 years, it's gotten to the point where like everything just hurts all the time.
I feel like I want to get fit. Whereas if we were verbally arguing, you'd be like, I don't think I'd want to fight this person physically.
Mm. Okay, so you want to get like a little like scary.
Not scary, scary, but just like I don't want to mess with this person, I don't think. Mildly intimidating.
This is, well, we'll get to our show eventually, but I bought one of those like scanners, the electricity scanners that figures out your body fat mass and everything.
Oh.
There's bad ones and there's good ones. And then there's like real ones. And I got one of the good normal ones. Once again, continuing our talk from the pre-show, I don't ever buy the best of the best. I buy the best of the medium. I have a lot more, I'm stronger than I realized. Ooh. I have a lot more muscle mass. I just happen to have a lot more fat around that muscle mass.
it's like a corn dog.
So theoretically, I could be fit. I'm starting with a good amount of strength.
Yes.
So in me, it's just, you couldn't tell it. You wouldn't be able to tell from looking at me. You'd be like, all right, that guy doesn't look. So I'm deceptively strong, which maybe it felt good. I'm like, all right, good. All I need to do is like lose a lot of weight. It's not about, and it's never been about weight for me, but it's about like, I want to feel good in my body. So that's the goal.
And I love that for you and your little protein seltzer.
Hello, my little protein seltzer. It's not great. Not bad. It's not bad. Not great.
I feel like protein drinks are always like granular, you know, like chalky. That's exactly what it is.
Normally having a seltzer, you don't want there to feel like a film in your mouth afterwards. And that's exactly what I'm getting right now. It's a very mild, filmy aftertaste.
Sounds awful.
It's not as bad as I'm making it out to be. If you want to sponsor me.
What a ringing endorsement.
Genius Gourmet. It's not, you're not terrible.
Not as bad as I make it out to be.
Not as bad as it sounds. Genius Gourmet. Not as bad as it sounds.
Did we want to do a show today? Or?
I guess so. I think we should just call it. I think that was a good conversation.
How many minutes in are we? We're like 8 minutes in of nonsense.
Probably.
What are we talking about, Chesco? What's our subject for today?
Today we're going to talk about how boys have it so much harder than girls. Theme song?
Yes!
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly.
I got some good advice for
you. No, you don't.
You're like, today
we're going to talk about how the boys have it so much harder than the girls.
And we know that.
I'm high. It's so much harder to be a boy.
You know what you do? You do sound like a person who would drink protein seltzer.
I have my protein seltzer. It's so delicious.
It's in like a crystal glass. Grandma needs her protein seltzer in a crystal glass.
It's very good. By the way, I told you I've been doing an improv class.
Yes.
I feel like I had a breakthrough this week. If I do really crappy voices, I can get more into the scene. I was kind of just doing it as my, I was just being me, which is never a good, it's never worked out for me in any facet of my life where I'm like, just be yourself. That never works out. So I started like kind of just like trying to embody an actual character and it worked out a lot better this week. So
I feel bad for your scene partners trying to follow you with the way your accents like to drift.
Oh, it's not going well for them. But it's fine. I like for me, it's fine. At least I feel better about it. People were laughing.
I believe that.
I'm better at improv games than I am at scene work right
now. Yeah,
I love the game because the games are like, it's like, I get into that mode where it just has to be like
one liners. Like,
my issue with scene building is I'm so bad with names that it's happened almost every single time. They'll be like, hi, I'm John or whatever. You know how every improv scene starts. Hello, I am John. We are in a factory.
They really do start with name and location.
I know. But it's not like obviously as explicit as that.
Yeah.
But every time they'll be like, I'll be like, if I'm the one starting it, they'll say their name and I'll name them or we'll be someone. I can always remember the place.
Well, that's one of the three.
That's something. So, and the
I can totally imagine you naming someone and then giving them a new name directly after.
So many times already.
Like, George, come here. Now, let me tell you something, Greg.
Yeah, it's happened more than once where I'm just like, we're just going to go with it.
I had one scene where, this was not that long ago, somebody came in with like a made up weird, like, I couldn't understand a word of it. And then they were stuck with it, and I was stuck with it, and then it kept changing, and I'm like,
what is happening?
Is there a murderer on this at this theme park to come kill me?
Scene, that it was actually, it went amazing, but you could tell all three of us in it had very different ideas about what was happening. and we weren't we're all new, fairly new. So none of us had like the ability to really like
craft it,
make it clear what was happening, but it worked really well. It was just kind of the audience had to. And then finally at the end, it came out what it was like. We were foxes.
Of course.
That were, of course, as one does. And I ate the white one was when it came out. And I, in my mind, the person was talking about like, I ate a little white child. Like, and so they were referring to like a white cat that I ate.
Oh.
And then the third person jumps in and they were the brother of the animal that I ate. It turns out it was a bunny.
Oh, good.
That was there. And we end up, it ended up being great.
But for a while you were a child killer.
I was like, this is real dark. I guess this is where we're going. It didn't even click in my head that the white one wouldn't. That's not how you refer usually to little children. Oh, yeah. You ate the white one.
Well, do you see that white one over there?
Is that white one? White one?
So just for a little bit, you're like, I guess I killed a child. I have to live with this on my conscience.
This is what it is. As a wild fox.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. You just go with it.
Chesco, we got to get to the real stuff. Nobody likes listening to improv scenes.
I feel like our followers might.
That's very generous. I've told my wife dozens of improv scenes every time. She's like,
She listens. She's like,
Yeah, but on the inside, she's probably like, I have no idea what's going on. I had to be there.
Yeah, it's not. You quite literally have to be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, can I share one more thing? Well, it's not about improv scene. So I don't ever bring up like that I do social media. Like I'm a college professor. That's what I do.
It is true.
And it's, I'm a full-time college professor. That's how my identity is still that. Mm-hmm. And I also don't like, I don't, it feels weird. Like if I like, I'm an influencer.
Yeah, you might look like a D-bag.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I'm doing improv because I'm furthering my content creation. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a career. Now people do it as a career. Anyways, I'm doing it as a side career, right?
Yeah.
But so I haven't brought it up at all. Our teacher popped up on my people you might know because we have some mutual friends and I added him. Mm-hmm. And then so he added me back. So now he knows, but he's the only one that knows.
That's this big secret you have.
I feel like it's not, it was never meant to be a secret because I've said, it's come up and I've been like, oh yeah, I do some social media stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. And so, but now I feel like it's a secret. Now I'm afraid to tell people. Like, how's it come up?
When it comes up organically, just don't make it weird.
I guess so. Just be like, oh yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal.
I feel like it's going to come up like, no one's going to be talking about that. You're going to be like, I have a following. I have nearly 2 million followers. How many million now?
Nearly 3 million.
Oh, and that's how I don't want it to come up, Chesco. Right there, that, don't do that.
I think what's going to happen is probably, because our last, what we're doing on that the whole class voted to do to move on to 202.
Nice.
Because it's the 101. We'll probably add each other on social media at some point. Like, I'm becoming friends with the people.
Then you'll be busted. You
know, and then it'll be like, unless I just add them to my private social media account and just keep it going. See how long I can. Anyways, we can probably cut this out. Nobody cares about me.
It's so hard to be so popular, isn't it?
It really is. It's my curse.
You know what else it's hard to be? A man, apparently. It is. Let's listen to this man of my nightmares. You ready?
Yes.
Almost every single woman I have ever met in my entire life is at least mildly decent at rejecting me.
Okay, let's go back to the main point. The main point you said was
John, how many times have you been rejected by women?
More than I can count.
Joran, how many times have you been rejected by women? Ronaldo, how many times have you been rejected by women?
Forever.
Okay, forever. Well, I will
Allie,
say this
how many times have you been rejected by men?
This is a really
Allie,
unfair
how many times
sample
you've been rejected
size.
By men? Allie, how many times have you been
like
rejected
twice.
By men? Twice. Okay, two times. That's okay. disgusting. Okay.
But that is not my fault. it's
it
not my fault.
It doesn't matter.
No.
So here's the thing that I need more people to understand. These guys hate men. they have the lowest view of themselves and other men that I don't understand why I get in trouble critiquing them. And I'll explain why I'm saying that in a second. But like, I don't see how more people don't see the way. I mean, they also hate women, but they also hate men. Like, they very clearly hate women. But it's I guess because they're not so obvious about it. They think so little of themselves and of other men. And that's just kind of the standard acceptance about like, oh yeah, well, you know, men have zero standards, do not care, will kind of, they'll kind of settle for anyone at all because is she breathing? Then sure. I don't want to bring them up again, but the one podcast that I've responded to like a dozen times before, that white guy,
podcast.
You know, the white guy with a podcast that he brings on. It's the I can't even remember that. Whatever.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but he'll always be like an average woman can go out and have sex with almost any man she wants. But an average you have to be like the top 1% of men to be able to blah, 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 to be able to have sex with a woman and all this kind of thing. And I'm like, what does that say about men? That all of us are just so like, yes, I would like sex, please. Thank you very much. You're mean to me, it doesn't matter. You're willing to give me the sex. Okay. Like, it's so mean. I feel like it's so degrading to men and also to women. I want to be clear. This is not me saying that they're being so kind to women, but it's such a very clearly like negative outlook toward everyone out there. And but then they shift it to be like, and so that's why women are the worst people on earth. And that's why it's okay to hate women.
The description says women are naturally better at rejecting. What? What? What does that mean? First of all, how would you know that? Mm-hmm. Because like there's so much nurture at that point. By the time a woman is in her 20s, she's had God knows how many advances.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She's had practice.
She's had practice. So saying it's natural, I think, is weird. Mm-hmm. But it's also just like,
like women are naturally better at changing diapers.
Right, right. It comes
naturally
to us.
Naturally better at doing all those things. It's not because you were forced to do all of that work because, I just don't get it.
We're born knowing how to clean the house, cook a meal.
Everything. It's all women know how to do all. It's just how amazingly wonderful is the coincidence that it's everything that sucks that is like not fun to do.
Yeah.
It just turns out that women are better at it.
I just think it's so weird, like how little they take any other factors into account. Like they just say these things without caring to like dive into like the fact that men, like especially at a certain age, will like almost indiscriminately, and especially the way that you know, these podcast bros and or dating coaches where they're just like, just try and sleep with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so women are having to field these constant approaches, like these constantly getting bombarded by men trying to sleep with them. So it's like, yeah, they have it happen more because men can be less discriminate. Like men have less safety problems.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the key. I think that's really important that they never ever bring up on these shows or never want to acknowledge that there is absolute, they're like, well, women can do stuff to can hurt men too. Women can blah, 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 blah.
Was mean to me one time.
Yeah. I mean, that hurt my feelings. You say you're not, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like violence. It's violence against my heart.
My heart was wounded.
Yeah. It's the exact same thing. There was zero difference, Reagan.
It's just thinking about like guys can try and sleep with a bunch of women, and most men aren't afraid if they go home with a woman, they're going to be harmed. I don't know. I don't think I've ever had a man tell me that, that like, or like even suss me out at all when I was in my straight days. There's so many, you're like, I don't even know you. Why would I go anywhere with you? Like, but it's like, they don't have that fear, and they also don't have the stigma. They don't have, there's just so many reasons that women have to be more careful or choose, like have to make the choice to be more careful, not even because of like interest necessarily, but like out of safety, like so that they're not harmed. And then you have the other side of it, which is just like, these men just want to sleep with them. Like, they don't care about them. They don't care about who they are. They don't want to spend time with them. So it's like, yeah, if you just literally want a body, yeah, I'm sure then you are getting rejected more than someone who potentially doesn't want that. But there are men out there who just want to sleep with people, and also people telling them that that's all you should want. So like, it's just so weird to be like, oh God, women just know how to reject. They have to reject. You never get rejected. You don't know what it's like. It's like, you don't care. Your bar is so low. So you're open to anybody, but you're also willing to harm them. You're willing to sleep. Like, so often it's like they'll sleep with them and then never talk to them again. It's like,
right.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So, oh God.
It's also this weird, and this is a more modern version of this, of this the entitlement, right? Yeah. To women's bodies, to women's time, to women's, that, like when I was in my youth, and dating, right, I got rejected, right? I went on dates. It didn't go out well. Finding someone to date was so much more work, right? I'd have to actually go do activities. I had to actually go to places. I actually had to meet people that had shared interests of me. And so they're like, well, I got rejected 75 times on Tinder. I'm like, that's not a reject. That's like, it's such a non-reject. Like, it's the easiest. If I could have like sat on my couch, I'd probably still be single, by the way, if that was existed at that in the same era. Like, but if I could just sat on my couch and just mindlessly swiped all day long, and they'd be like, yeah, I got rejected 200 times. No, you didn't. That's not the same thing. And that's what almost all of them are always counting. Like, well, yeah, I DM'd her my penis. And she didn't send anything back.
I got no pics back.
No pics back, man. Like, what? Where's the reciprocation?
I'm heartbroken. Here?
I'm out. Yeah, she swiped right on me also.
Until I sent her the dick pic, and then all of a sudden she's not interested.
Whoa! How else do you say hi in this day and age?
That's my opening line.
Yeah, it's like, here, just in case. Here's what I'm working with.
Just so you know.
You know?
If you are just hitting on anybody without even taking the time to understand if there's any common interest, any mutual anything, are they single? Like, I don't know that there's ever a time I would just have hit on someone having no idea if we had anything in common at all.
Right.
Like, these guys will just go up to people completely that they do not know, that like they're not compatible with, and like, that they've done nothing, like nothing to foster enough of a connection that it wouldn't be seen as gross to be talked to that way. Like, if you go up to a stranger and immediately hit on them, like, unless there's an immediate attraction for some reason, you're going to get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
So your numbers are going to be higher because you're trying more.
You're just like throwing it out there at whoever, someone breathing.
It's like going like a door-to-door salesman versus someone who's doing like a targeted campaign.
And it's also like they wonder why aren't women like making eye contact and smiling and doing it? Because it's like they take every like the smallest modicum of nicety that exists. But like, oh, she's into this. She looked at my eyes. You know what that means? And then they approach me like, oh, God damn it.
That's happened to me so many times. Accidental eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Yeah. And they're like, what? Yeah. She was giving me all the signs.
She looked into my eyes for 0.5 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not see that as a sign to approach and come after? And that's, it's,
may the I? Whole,
yeah, it's, I do think it's like the same reason why in years past, whatever, too, like how many people met and had a meaningful relationship that met at a bar,
right?
Or a club, right? It's like there might be hookups, even pre Tinder and all those kind of apps, right? That happened right there. But that was not where most actual meaningful relationships started, right? That was what you went there solely knowing it was going to be like who you attracted to physically, because there's no conversation happening.
Right.
Other than, hey, do you want it? What? Yeah. No, yeah.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Do you want to get out of here?
No.
No, you just want, okay.
Are you here with your friends? All those girls? Yeah.
Rejected.
Well, I'm thinking about something. I'm still thinking about something you said earlier, which is like what they call rejected. And I think you're so right. Like, I feel like if you've invested nothing, literally nothing into an exchange, then it shouldn't be a big deal for people to say no. Like, if I just walk up to a stranger, I'm like, hey, you want to sleep together? And they're like, no, I'd be like, right on. Because, well, I wouldn't do that right now. But this idea that they'll like count this as this huge rejection and that they should feel bad about, it's like, are you putting yourself through rejection therapy at this point? Because yeah, you're going to get rejected if you do it like that. And if you take all of those as like meaningful rejections, like, yeah, you got rejected, but like also that person doesn't know you and like maybe just isn't attracted to you. Like, it's like it's so personal and like they take it so badly. Like it impacts them on such a level, but it's also like, then try harder. If you are impacted that way with rejection, then put more into it rather than do it more often with people you don't know, with like the least amount of information about them or like anything you could use. Like that's how connections happen. You have to know stuff about each other to connect.
And also like if more guys had friends that were women, right? If
they that's actually crazy. Pursued, why? Like the are they sleeping with them?
I know. Isn't that, that's the only reason, right? They have to be attracted to them.
That's what someone told me once.
But the amount of dates I went on throughout the years that were like, oh, hey, I know someone you might like. Or, hey, here's somebody that I think you get along with well. Mm-hmm. Because I had actual meaningful friendships with women that I didn't want to sleep with, right? And so, which is crazy talk, right? But there's all these sort of things we talk about that is like considered to be like blasphemy, right? Mm-hmm. Having friendship, meaningful platonic friendships with people that are of the same gender that you are also attracted to. The notion of those sort of things is looked at, or the idea of like going out and just to do activities that you actually enjoy, and your goal isn't just to find someone to date and hook up with, right? It's to actually have hobbies that you find.
It's called a hobby.
Meaning out of, right?
I saw a video the other day that was like two bros talking, and the guy very proudly, I would say he's in his 20s, early 20s, he looked young, and he was like, yeah, I was just thinking about like, I've never dated a girl that like I would want to just hang out with like for an extended period of time. And the guy's like, do you have girlfriends? And he's like, oh yeah, I have like friends that are girls, but like, I just never have had that. And I'm like, why are you dating people?
Yeah.
What does that mean? You don't want to spend time with them? Like, what do you, like, do they just go and hang out with their girlfriends and the whole time they're thinking about, like, God, I wish I wasn't with you. I wish I was with David.
Yeah. Oh, Steve was here.
God, Steve would have laughed at that joke.
He would have thought this was so, he would have thought the joke about punching you in the eye was really funny.
He gets my sense of humor.
Unlike girls.
But it's like they actually don't enjoy spending time with them.
And it's, yeah, and that is the key of this whole thing. And it's, like I said, that's where this crisis comes from, right? It's a crisis of people not understanding that there is a whole world of things you can like and be interested in that don't involve sex.
Well, I just, I'm like, do they just sit there and hate their time? Are they just sitting there being like, we should be having sex right now, otherwise this is pointless? Like, what are they thinking about? If you're with your girlfriend.
There was a video of like a married couple that talked, that said this. They're like, well, we're not friends. I don't think that husband and wife should be friends. I think that's, it was this whole thing. I don't remember. I have to find a
video.
What
does that mean?
But they were like, yeah, husband and wife, that's not, I think my hot take is that husband and wives shouldn't be friends with each other. We have different roles. Like his role is business owner. And
provider.
And provider. And her role is to
baby maker.
And they make the babies. And we'll meet on Tuesday, have relations, and then go
and
off
that.
And that's that. We have our
quiet woman.
Yeah. And then we go to our separate beds in our separate, and there's not, by the way, that's a whole, I'm not judging people that have separate beds. Because there is a whole movement I know of people that are doing, having their own rooms and stuff that are in,
oh yeah, like good sleepers.
Yeah that's fine. I'm not but I mean, in this kind of situation where, yeah, having it because you despise the person you're with and you only want to be around them for the sake of making children and budgeting.
I just don't understand it. I'm like, and like, you see it especially like with older couples, you can tell they can't stand each other and you're just like, mm-hmm, why are you doing this? Yeah. Like, what? My wife is my favorite person on the, mm-hmm, planet. Like, aside from my child, mm-hmm, Chai. But like, I want to spend all my time with her. Like, when something, mm-hmm, funny happens, she's the first person I want to tell. Like, mm-hmm, when I'm upset, she's the first person I want to talk. Like, I just can't comprehend, like, mm-hmm, if your partner did not have any, like, didn't hold any of those spaces. I can't imagine, not just like needing other people, because your person's not your everything. We know that. Like, your, mm-hmm, your partner's not gonna be, no,
of course,
your
of
everything
course
for all things.
And it's important to cultivate relationships outside of your, yeah,
of,
yeah,
course. Mm-hmm. But like, if you don't even like them, like you don't like, mm-hmm, spending time with them, it's, again, like, I think I've brought this up so many times, but it's this idea of like being proud of it. Like the guy, mm-hmm, was like, yeah, I don't even think I could hang out with a woman, mm-hmm, for more than 10 hours, mm-hmm, without hating my life. It's like,
I think the discussion about older couples, especially staying together when they clearly hate each other, like not even like a mild dislike, but like,
no,
it's so common that it's like a trope where like, mm-hmm, they like fucking despise each other.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons they stay though, is because of what we were just kind of hinting at, that obviously you need relationships outside of, you need friendships, you need other stuff, mm-hmm, outside of it. But they get into the point where their partner is literally the only person in their life that they have any interaction with, that they have anything to do with, and they can't imagine that changing. Because I do think it's got to happen, you know, just in the same way that if I started dating someone when I was 20, now as a 40-year-old, mm-hmm, I could imagine we might be different people, right?
Sure, sure.
There might be a reason to separate. It's possible we grew together in the same way, but like I didn't understand the world in the same way I did when I was 20, right? And
right,
there's a whole bunch of different stuff. But in the same way that happened, I can imagine being 40 and then being 60 or 70. That's a whole different part of your,
sure,
life where something could happen. And I think it would be nice if it could be normalized where people didn't feel the need to stay with somebody just because, well, we've been together for 30 years. What's the point? I don't know what to do outside of it. And it's, I think it's a real problem. I mean, I can say that now, having, you know, being in a relationship, I'm happy to stay in, right? You know, and where I'm not looking to get out, mm-hmm, of it. But I think it's got to be hard though. Like, where if you've been with somebody for 30 plus years, and it's because it's not like it's all of a sudden you probably started hating each other. It was
right,
like this
gradual
slow motion thing where it's just, mm-hmm, to the point where they just, the way that they cough makes your skin crawl, right? Or the way that they eat soup, mm-hmm, makes, mm-hmm, you want to go punch a wall afterwards. And I feel like I wish we had a society that, I think part of it's like health insurance, probably finances,
right,
like not having a universal basic income. I think people stay in these kind of things. One out of just, that's what it is. It's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do now? It's,
right,
there's nothing.
We have a life together now and kids. Yeah. What are we going to do?
How do we move on from that? And then also the reliance on not having social services where you can escape. You know, you hear people staying in abusive relationships, even at younger ages, for those exact reasons. Like, well, I have to, right? And especially when kids are involved, I can't leave. How do I support the kids? How do I take care of that? I need to stay to protect the kids. I need to stay to be in this house with this person to make sure that the kids, you know, are okay. And there's all, and obviously there's studies that talk about why it's bad to stay in unhealthy, toxic relationships, even when children are involved. But I think it's a really nuanced discussion that I'm happy we're taking on.
can I sidetrack us to a phenomenon that I am like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many married, like 40, 50, 60-year-old men think they would be getting a 10, a 20? Oh, yeah. You're old 10 if they weren't married. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? Oh my God. I had no idea. I can't. I've seen videos. Like, there were, like, one of my acting jobs, it's like a huge group of like actors and the people who run it, but there's like some older guys and they've said things that I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, they'll have beautiful, lovely, amazing wives, and they'll, like, you can tell they're like, if I was single right now, that waitress, she'd be serving more than food, if you know what I'm saying.
Catch my drift. Did you see the way she looked at me when she handed me the bill?
When she was getting her tip, did you see how nice she was?
You see that? She was flirting with me. She wants it. And you know why? No what? Wedding ring on.
Uh-oh, that's why I keep it on the sink. Mm-hmm. That ring stays on the sink. It's the same thing as, like, I've noticed, just my old man observations with Reagan. There's also, like, this weird, like, how men only socialize seemingly with, like, wait staff, with, like, grocery store workers. Have you ever seen that? Like, I'm like, you must not have friends outside of this. No. Because they'll just, and I mean, they are talking them up for like 20 minutes, or like they'll talk me up. I'm like, I don't want to talk in the grocery store. I promise you that. I want to get my food and get out. That's how I roll. Like, this is already, sometimes they'll try and talk to me when I have my daughter. I'm like, do you not see the struggle that is going on here, sir?
I try to keep my headphones on. I don't want any conversation.
That doesn't stop them, Chesco. They'll be like, oh, you're put out? Oh, you point to your
you
ear?
Can't hear me.
Can you take that out so I can talk to you? That's happened to me more than once. Mm-hmm. More than once. But just like, It's so like the perspective these men have of themselves. Like, I honestly think some of staying is like they have this fantasy in their head. They're like, oh, like, I know I'm with my wife. If I had a hall
pass, was there a movie like about that? I didn't see the movie.
Yes, with Owen Wilson. I never saw it either because the whole premise, I was like, ew. Yeah.
I think if I remember the previews at least correctly, it was like this exact thing happened where they couldn't.
Don't.
I think the comedy was that nobody wanted them. At least.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen the movie. If anybody can correct us in the comment section right now, because it could very well just be that they ended up having the time of their life. but you're absolutely right. I think every guy hits a point where they're like, not every guy, a certain type.
Wait a second, just go.
Yeah,
outed.
If I have the worst self viewpoint of myself, that was. Did you ever? I'm sure you watched it. Did you ever watch the podcast when I was on the Girls Gotta Eat podcast?
Yes,
that was that section there that caught me off guard.
The tall guy.
When I was self deprecating myself. That's that's my genuine viewpoint of myself. Like, oh God,
I will lose the ability to speak if you compliment me.
Yeah, there was zero vision in my mind of there ever being something. I know where I got it. I got it good.
Truly.
There's no inkling in my mind. If somebody asked me, like, if my wife was like, you know what, for your 50th birthday, you get a hall pass, I'd be like, can I just go, you know, play video games for a day?
Can I go to a hotel by myself?
Yeah. Can I avoid getting rejected over and over for 24 hours? Why would you do that to me? Why,
That's what it would be to. These men don't understand. They would just be roasted for 24 hours.
They download Tinder and they're like, here we go. Publish. I don't know what the button is for. And then they're waiting. They're
it's
like,
not publish. Yeah. Okay.
submit whatever the button is for. They're waiting there and they're like, oh, here it comes. Is this working? They're shaking their
heads. I've gotten zero matches.
Why is nobody? I'm just swiping on everybody. Where
but I set my thing to 18 plus, which statistically has been proven they do.
I lied and said that I was wealthy.
I used my photo from high school.
What is going on with this?
Yeah. But you see it even in like divorces, and then they're like fucking miserable because they're like, I thought I was going to walk out into a naked orgy with all these beautiful women.
It turns out the grocery store cashier was not, what do they call it? Register person. It turns out she really did just want my money for my groceries. She was not.
I've had this conversation with someone recently, but I like have a problem with it because I feel like these, not all men, but I feel like men weaponize like the service industry. Like they weaponize the knowledge that a lot of women who like, and I'm talking about like waitresses, you know, like, and even like front desk people, whatever. It's like their employment is based on whether or not they get good feedback or with a tip, their tip is based on whether or not the person enjoyed their interaction or in their service essentially.
Right. Right.
And so it's like, they like weaponize that because they know that. So they like take advantage of those moments. Like to get this person's time and their attention because they know that the front desk person is going to have to laugh at their jokes and is going to have to like sit through their stories. And like, I'm sitting there watching these men and I'm like, they're at their work, man. Like they got to go. Yeah. I get that you're not socializing. It's not fair to force people to socialize with you when that is not what their job is. And you see it all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I think there's two conversations to be had. There's obviously one type of socializing where it's like this weird, creepy guy. Like there's a video I reposted the other day from last year about the girl that works at the golf course, the woman that works at the golf course.
Which one?
And the guy, yeah. Well, there, and the guy comes out, he was like, I'm dangerous. And
he, yes.
Whole thing where that's the weird, where you can tell this guy thinks he is God's gift versus I've had personally had wonderful conversations with elderly. And there's a certain point where I feel bad because our society does make elderly people invisible, right? Sure. Where they are just ignored and there's no one and they're, especially if they don't have a close family nearby.
Right.
And so I want to be clear though.
I'm not talking about those people.
Just in case there are people watching us that don't know the two of us, like, all right, I know most people follow, because I think most people that follow us know that that's not what we're referring to.
No, of course not.
But I want to be clear though that there is a very clear type of older man that you see constantly that is predatory and thinks that because they're wearing a wedding ring that they are immediately able to say really inappropriate things and to flirt, like to not flirt in a way that they're accusing the people they're talking to of flirting, but like openly being like, you know, if I was 20 years younger, I would have been all over you. It's like, are you saying that you think she's disgusting now? Is that your, are you just admitting that you want to be all over her right now? But you're using this as an excuse to say like, just don't worry, but don't leave. Please don't leave.
Right.
But stick around and let me make you uncomfortable for the next 20 minutes telling you about all the ways that I'm great.
And it's like, you know that they are weaponizing the dynamic. They understand it because they're not going up to every woman. It's like you see this, the similar interaction over and over and over. And like you see, I feel like it happens a lot with younger women who are like, ha, 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 and having to like laugh through awkwardness. It's like people will say, oh, that's just the service industry. It's like, is it though? Because it has nothing to do with the exchange. It has nothing to do with waiting tables. It has to do with the fact that the guy wants validation or he wants to hit on a woman who is basically forced into this interaction and her payment is determined by whether or not he thinks highly of her. And that's bullshit. And that's unfair. And it's like putting women into this category they shouldn't be. Like, you shouldn't have to have the guy be attracted to you in order to get paid what you, like, what you're worth and, like, the service you've given to be paid what you deserve.
Going back to the original clip, too, they talk about, like, how women are better at rejecting. And what the whole point of that, though, is I think most women as a I don't want to speak for all women here. You can like, but from what I hear from women saying in my comment section, especially when I make these, is that they are, many women are constantly on edge as far as what is the most effective way to reject this person without this turning into a creepy or violent or mm-hmm. scary situation, mm-hmm. right? So of course they're very good, because when a man's rejecting somebody, mm-hmm. he's not worried, is this going to lead to her following me to my car? Right. Is this going to get her angry where she's going to start yelling at me in public? Is this going to X, Y, and Z? So he doesn't have to think of it. So he's not going to be good at rejecting, because he doesn't think about all of the other aspects of what could happen if this rejection is not handled perfectly mm-hmm. in this situation.
And I also assume, I mean, this is not a world in which I've ever lived in or ever mm-hmm. will probably mm-hmm. with the way things are going. But like, we don't know how women would behave if safety wasn't a factor. Like, maybe women would ask out men more. Like, maybe mm-hmm. women would flirt more.
Right.
Because we live in a world in which it can mean literal death. Mm-hmm. If you flirt with the wrong guy, it can mean something bad can happen. Like, we mm-hmm. know the rates that men lie to women, mm-hmm. especially in a short exchange if they're trying to sleep with them. Like, there's so much risk for women. Like, if that wasn't the case and there was not this inherent danger to mm-hmm. flirting, like, I bet a lot more women would hit on guys. Just thinking back to when I like dated men, like if I knew shit would not go sour, mm-hmm. this is going to be shocking. I was a bit of a flirt in my day. Mm-hmm. But like, I would even withhold like parts of my personality and like be more subdued because I was terrified of mm-hmm. how I would be taken, because my, like, I shouldn't even say I was a flirt. This is kind of the point. Like, my personality was taken as flirting always. Mm-hmm. Even when I was just trying to be funny, even when I was just mm-hmm. trying to be friendly, like, mm-hmm. so what I was myself, but men took that as flirting is the proper way of saying it. And so I mm-hmm. would like change my personality. I would make sure I was less touchy. I would be careful how I talk to people, because mm-hmm. so often they would take it as flirting and then move it forward. And so like, that's scary. Like, not being able mm-hmm. to be who you are because of the way that men, they're so ready to perceive. As mm-hmm. ready, they're like ready to perceive like, oh, she's into me, but equally to feel rejected and get mad. They're mm-hmm. highly sensitive to either mm-hmm. feeling, and like it's a knife's edge. Like it could mm-hmm. go, like no matter what you do, it's so close to being perceived in a way that's negative. Mm-hmm. It's a delicate game that women have to play. And I would have loved to just be able to be my friendly, fun self and not fear like what that would look like. And mm-hmm. like, had I been more interested in men, I probably would have like flirted with more of them. But it's mm-hmm. like, you can't. So it's like, yeah, no, of course, because you're not taking any of the risk. So you can mm-hmm. go for as many people as you want. Women are taking huge risks. So like, maybe it has nothing to do with nature. Like, we're naturally better at rejecting people and more about the environment in which we're forced to date.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's the same thing. The conversation always comes up where men will complain, like, or if a woman says, like, have you noticed that you're not being approached as much anymore? And men will be like, this is what you get. This is your fault. You're not
your world, feminist.
Your world, feminist. It's your own fault. And like every single woman I always talk to, it's not getting approached. Like, don't get me wrong, it's annoying to get approached if you're just having dinner with your friend or something like that. Like, that's always annoying to be like, this is not a dating situation.
Yeah, like, I'm eating dinner.
I'm literally in a restaurant with a friend right now. But like the overwhelming majority of responses I always see is it's not being approached that I really care about. It's the way that you handle my rejection, mm-hmm. right? It's, can you just say, if I say, no, oh, no, thank you, I'm having dinner right now. Do you say, I'm so sorry, I have a good night, and walk away? Then it's like, okay, that's fine. Nobody would care. You'd be able to, it's guys will get mad that women are really defensive and upset about getting hit on in these public places when they don't realize it's because of terrible men that are the way that they react that is causing so many people to be afraid of, like, oh fuck, what's it gonna, is this gonna ruin our night now? Is this gonna end up being this whole thing I have to deal with for the rest of the night? Or is he just gonna be a normal human being that can just be like, so sorry about that, have a good night?
And it's also the way in which you're getting approached too, because it's like, they want to act like all of these rejections and approaches are like polite, fun, you're out at a bar, you're like, like everybody's trying to date, and then, you know, some woman's just the worst, and she makes it awful and she ruins a guy's night. It's like, so often, like, it's in settings that aren't appropriate. Like you said, like, you'll be like, a woman will be eating with her friend and somebody interrupts what she's doing because he wants to date her. Like, there's this idea that these men have that, like, the second they step outside, everybody's fair game, and they should get to hit on anybody they want, and they should get to, you know, interject into any conversation and invade any space, because them getting laid is the most important. And that's just not the world that we live in. Like, if they had men doing to them to that to them consistently, like, sometimes the best example is when you put it with, like, gay men. Like, if they had gay men who they were not attracted to constantly trying to hit on them and get with them, I don't think they would like it. And you have to do man to man because of the threat level. Like, they don't see like, women, they just don't see them as equals. No, they just don't see them as equal threats. But it's like, the way that it's happening, like, is intrusive. It's overbearing. It's entitled. It is entitled to think you can interrupt someone's time who is by no means wanting to interact with you. I don't understand why these men think that they should just have free access to women all the time. And that's what they're pissed about. They want access all the time. There was this huge argument where this woman was getting her kid in the car, and this guy was approaching her, and she was yelled. She was like, stop, get away from me, don't come near me, because she was in a very vulnerable position. We know that's where a lot of muggings happen, kidnappings, like, in that space where you're, like, in the getting in the car, and she had a young child in a car seat. And so she screamed at him to get away, and this guy went on this rant about, I just can't walk up to people. Like, all of it's missing the point, which is just that we didn't set up this world. Like, in a perfect world where no one was threatening and people weren't getting assaulted all the time, you know, violence against women wasn't an issue, then maybe that wouldn't be as big of a deal. Maybe women wouldn't mind being approached. I still think it's intrusive. That's my opinion. But we don't live in that world, so we can't pretend that we do. If you want that access, quote unquote, access to women, then give them a world in which they're safe to allow access. Then fight to be better. Then talk to your guys. Where's the problem? The problem is with the people who make women feel unsafe. So fix that shit and then come at us about how you can't access us. Like, do that first, and then we can have a conversation. But until we're in a space where it's even safe, this is the bare minimum, is that women can feel safe to date.
Right.
You're never going to be able to do these things. Like, if you've got a problem, talk to the guys who ruined it for you. Calls coming from inside the house, I think.
Yeah. And there will be guys. I remember there was one guy that, and I was like, oh, boo-boo. He got so upset because I brought up the idea. I was like, you know, like, one of the best ways to meet people is, you know, have hobbies, have friends, be blah, blah, blah. He was like, I have a bunch of friends that are women. They never try to set me up with anybody. And they have so many single friends. I was like, what do they know about?
Let's use our deduction here. What do we think that means?
Yeah, I feel like, or, and the other side of it is, there will be a guy that, and this is, the reality is, and this is just, I don't like, there's, I realize attraction is subjective. I realize that good looking to one person is not going to be good looking to something else, but it'll be a guy that is very clearly not a catch. In so many, I don't mean just looks. I mean, in some ways, there's just so many things, and they'd be like, well, I don't understand why I can't get with, and it'll be like this supermodel that is making, you know, six figures on her own, and as this funny, vivacious personality that is actually clearly in, I don't understand. Why wouldn't she want to be with me? I'm nice.
That's what I'm saying.
A nice guy. Is that what your podcast was? Your old podcast?
Yeah, it's still sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean, that's what it is. And it's all like, they have this insane expectation of women, and it's like, what they actually like, because let's not, like, play games here. These men may sleep with a lower bar in their own minds of women, but they will degrade them. They will talk shit on them. They will hurt them, harm them, emotionally, hopefully not physically, but who knows? Like, they will treat them like shit. That is still not the woman they like, just because they're using them transactionally. They want sex. So they're not even seeing them as people. They're like, I'll get with anyone. It's like, no, you won't though. You'll sleep with anyone. You'll still have the same shit opinions of women, and you'll use and abuse them for your own benefit till you can get something better. Not the same thing.
Well, it goes back to where guys, like, that's the exact thing where guys were like, you know, a rich man won't care if she's working at McDonald's or if she's doing, like, making no money. All he cares about is her physical beauty. But the reality is, though, that's not true. There's studies on assortative mating that goes in depth on the fact is rich men marry other rich women.
Yeah, they
do. Poor men marry other poor women. Middle class men marry other middle class. It's the reality is most of the people in most there are always going to be outliers. Yeah. Well, have you seen the movie Pretty Woman? Right, but there's
a film.
That's not real. But there will be like all these people that will bring up that like see men don't care at all. There was a video I was going to respond to before where somebody was making that argument. The numbers don't show that, though. Like, the actual data shows that people tend to, both in attraction, both in wealth, both in all these sort of things, people tend to marry people that are in roughly the same social circle as them.
But it's also like she's rich in the commodity with which he's interested, which is youth. They're interested in youth, like usually young, skinny women who are beautiful, who they can, again, use and abuse and then throw out. So it's like...
But that's the point. If they want to be in a relationship with them, though, they're still not going to be with that person if she doesn't have the same family background, if she doesn't have the same sort of things for them. Does it happen? Sure, of course. I grew up in poverty and my wife grew up like relatively upper or middle class. You know, so there are people that you can find love
In any tax bracket.
In any tax bracket. But the reality is... the majority of people, because that's who you're socializing with, right? Yeah. If you're rich, you're probably socializing with other rich people. If you're poor, you're usually associating with other poor people. That's just what it is.
They don't recognize what's happening. They don't recognize the commodity. Like, what do you bring to the table? Mm-hmm. What do you bring to the table? Like, honestly, like, what do you have that someone would want to partner with? Are you, like, they'll say nice, but usually they aren't nice. What they are is performative. Mm-hmm. To get sex. Like, that's not being nice. That's being manipulative. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, what do you bring to the table? And they'll want to bring nothing, but they'll want the world. And it's this crazy expectation. And again, it's like they think they should have unlimited access to whoever they want, whenever they want. And they're mad that they don't. And I am shocked by this expectation that these guys have. They're like, well, why can't I sleep with this person? Why can't I give this person? Why can't I have Sydney Sweeney or whatever? Mm-hmm. God, whatever the young guys are obsessed with. It's like, why should you though? Like, what do you bring to the table?
What do you have to offer?
Yeah, what do you have to offer Sydney Sweeney?
All she wants is for no, women won't want to be with you if you don't have a job, if you're not attractive, if you're not funny. It's like, yeah, that's why anybody's with a partner. You want somebody who's like, it offers you something in your life that you wouldn't have with it. Your life should be better as a result of your partner, for men and women.
100%. Your life should be better with your partner in it.
Mm-hmm. If you're only making their life worse as a result of you coming into it,
yes.
Then there's why would she want to be with you? Like that's not superficial. That's just life.
To be clear, we're not talking about we've had a comment before of like someone I think they were someone who is disabled feeling bad about like, well, I bring like if I make life harder. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about when you bring like we're talking about people who do no work within themselves to bring something positive into a relationship. That things that are totally under their control. They are choosing to bring the worst of themselves.
Also, we both have disabilities, right? I'm autistic, which is that's a disability.
I have diagnoses.
Yeah, I definitely my wife's life is much harder as a result of that in many ways, right? But we're talking about a overall. Yeah, am I bringing more to the table than other, and that's not me. Obviously, my autistic tendencies are very low. People can love them. We're just talking about are you actually Like, I think everyone has someone worthy of love if they find the right person, right? Everybody is worthy of finding someone, but it's people that are seeking out women or men. Even, you know, there are people across the gender spectrum, non-binary, anybody that are terrible people, right? But it's when you're seeking out somebody, not because they offer something to your life or that you enjoy being with them or you enjoy laughing with them, you enjoy a hobby with them, you enjoy whatever it is. It's just solely because, oh, I want to be with this person because it'll be impressive to other people, right? I want to be with this person because that's what I'm supposed to be doing now. This is what I'm supposed to be at. That's when it becomes toxic, right? When that person becomes an ornament or an object solely as an NPC in your character story, mm-hmm. right? If they are not also, your partner should be a sub main character, or not sub, a co-main character, right, in your life. That's how you should be seeking out somebody. And when you treat people that way, when you treat people like they are not that, that's when you run into so many other issues.
And the other thing is, like, rejection sucks for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody likes rejection. It's hard. Everybody faces it. Everybody, like, in different facets of life. Like, right. Maybe someone does well romantically, but not in business. Like, there's so many ways in which we can all be rejected and nobody likes it. But it's having the expectation that you shouldn't have to feel it, and the entitlement that you should have whatever woman you want, because no matter how bad rejection feels, it does not entitle you to other human beings. You do not have the right to another human being's time, attention, space, body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what the argument is. Like, if it gets to that point where that's what you're saying, like, so many of these men are saying that. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I should be mm-hmm. able to. It's like, you don't get to force yourselves upon people. Like, I'm mm-hmm. like, you don't. Sorry. Like, I don't care how much rejection sucks. The other is worse. Mm-hmm. The other is far worse. And mm-hmm. pretending that it's not is ridiculous.
There have been several guys that call me a liar. They're like, I'll talk about the fact that I was broke. Mm-hmm. I was not in great. I was not like as out of shape as I am now, but I was not in great. I've never been like an Adonis. I've never been like, you can never see my muscles, right? Like my body's always been like at that. I had a dad bod at 20, right? It was not like, so anyways, but
preemptive dad bod.
The reality is I still didn't really have trouble dating very much because I was actually I treated people with kindness, right? I was funny. Okay, it sounds like I feel weird even saying nice things about myself.
I was funny. I was funny once.
At one point, I was
what
funny.
Happened?
What happened? Right, but forget positive things. I didn't have money. I was not built. Though I guess I was tall. That was the one thing I had. I've always been tall. I worked hard on that, right?
But I grew real good.
I grew real good when I was younger. That was my best attribute.
Yeah.
But the fact is, I was able to date. Yeah. Because I wasn't an asshole. Like there were people that, and there's studies that talk about this. When you are around people enough and they get to know you and they find out about you, all of these things that are immediate wants that we want tend to become less important when you realize that this person is offering something to your life above and beyond a paycheck,
right?
Above and beyond having this being the trophy that you can show off on social media.
Mm-hmm. But that's so right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any final thoughts, Chesco?
You can all be better.
Profound. Yeah. Very profound.
You can do it.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today. As you know, we have the Patreon, so check that out. It's even more unhinged, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, check out our socials, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. Love you.